go to Workout Wednesday, brought to you by Custom Fit. Want to look good, eat good, feel good? Go to CustomFit.ca. Paul Plakas joins us once again. Plakas, how are you doing?
Gregor, just doing great like usual, buddy.
Nice. There's a lot of misinformation at times when it comes to exercise and maybe unrealistic gains and everything like that. So I wanted to, you know, big thing are people are about, well, eating calories, how many calories do I have to burn off? Is there a ballpark figure? How many calories can the average person burn off in like an hour workout?
Right. Yeah. No. Good question. Like that's, you know, you have a lot of devices out there like Fitbits and Garmins and all that stuff that try to take your heart rate, the length of time you've been doing the activity, and all that kind of stuff. But that's all just a good guess. Okay. So really, it's impossible to know exactly how many calories you did expend during exercise. It's really dependent on your duration, of course, and also your effort level relative to your fitness level. Okay, so somebody who does an hour run, if they find running very easy and they're very economical, they're going to find it less exerting than somebody who does an hour run who's just starting out. Okay, so that's a big key. And it's also important to take into account localized muscular fatigue. So any activity that uses specific muscles mostly doesn't burn as many calories as activities that use the entire body to engage in the activity. So an example would be like doing cross-country skiing versus biking. So our cross-country skiers, they don't get exhausted like in their quads as much as cyclists do. So the quad fatigue is going to stop you from expending energy, whereas cross-country skiing, you can expend the energy over more muscle groups. So you get less localized fatigue that prevents you from stopping and going as hard.
There's a lot of people, everybody wants to burn fat, right?
Right.
Now,
oh, yeah, that's number one.
You can't burn fat until your heart rate gets to a certain level. How does it work?
So the theory on the reality on that is the lower the intensity, the greater the percentage of the calories are coming from fat rather than carbohydrates and sugar. So when you are sleeping, you're pretty well burning just all fat, just a very little amount of sugar. When you are sprinting, you are burning all sugar, very little fat. And there's different levels of the percentages from fat to sugar depending on the intensity of the movement, right? So the other thing to keep into account on that is like doing long, slow duration activity like walking, you know, that's fine, but it won't make you fit. And also, you have to go quite long before you burn the same amount of calories as doing a harder, more intense workout, which will make you fitter as well, which you don't get from the walking. So I would say finding a moderate to above moderate intensity level to get the best combination of caloric burn, duration of activity as well, and also enjoyment, because it's, for most people, it's not that fun to go and destroy themselves for an hour unless they have specific goals that they're trying to attain.
Paul Plakas joins us. Paul, metabolism, because people are like, oh, you know what, I'm gaining some weight because I got slow metabolism, right? I don't even know what metabolism is. It's kind of like a write-off. So how does metabolism work in comparison to muscle gain? Is there a correlation?
Yes. So not as much as we once thought, though. So yes, metabolism is really how many calories you burn. That's basal metabolic rate at rest. So when you're at rest, you're sleeping, your body still burns calories because, you know, your lungs need to take in oxygen, your heart has to pump, your liver still does work. So those major organs still have to function and they take energy for them to work. So even at rest, you're burning some calories. The theory is having muscle or more muscle on your body, does that burn more calories when you're doing nothing? And right now, the research that I'm reading is it's about 6 to 8 calories for every pound of muscle that you burn during a day at rest. So if you've gained 10 pounds of muscle, you can enjoy somewhere between 60 to 80 calories of extra calorie burn than somebody that doesn't have that muscle tissue. So it's important for metabolism, but not as important as we once thought, because we thought it used to be like 40, 50, 60 calories per pound.
Are there better ways for, or does it depend on your DNA to build muscle?
Other than you're having a genetic predisposition to gaining muscle?
Yeah, like are there certain activities, like is weight training the only way to build muscle? What's the best way to build muscle, or will certain people naturally be hampered by just their DNA?
Oh, yeah, for sure. DNA plays a major role in that. But everybody can put on muscle. That's the thing. Women have a harder time because they lack the testosterone hormone as much as men have. But anything that puts tension and load on the body will build muscle. So obviously resistance training, that's its main purpose, is to develop strength and muscle size. So that's your best form. But even stuff like sprinting and doing jumping exercises, like those guys that, you know, you see the guys in the 100 meters races in the Olympics, you know, they have a different build than the guys that are doing the marathon because they're doing explosive, anaerobic, powerful work. So yeah, anything that puts load and tension on a muscle will build strength and size, but weight training is probably the most efficient way.
A few other quick ones for you. Looking at, you know, building muscle, you know, some players, we've seen some guys, you know, gain 20 pounds in an off season, but that's right. Not necessarily all muscle, correct?
Right. Yeah, it's tough to just gain muscle because you have to have added calories in your body in order to put muscle on that. So I guess what I've read is about, you need to take about an extra 2,500 calories above and beyond what you normally intake over a period of time consistently. So so to add muscle, usually when you're gaining weight, you're adding some muscle and some fat at the same time, unless you have like a superbly clean diet that you're like not storing any extra calories that are unnecessary. You're going to gain a combination of both. So usually what happens for people, they take a part of their season and they say, okay, today, this 4 months, I'm going to focus on strength training and adding size to my body. And then when it gets closer to their competition date, if they added some fat that's unnecessary, they'll start trimming that down by cleaning up their diet as well and maybe eating a little bit less because they've done the work for the muscle gain. So it's hard to do it at the same time, but realistically, the average guy, if you're working out 3 or 4 times a week with good heavy weights, you can expect to gain somewhere between 6 to 8, maybe even 10 pounds of muscle in a year if you're lucky.
Okay. Now that's
6, 7, 8 pounds maybe.
Yeah, that's for the average guy. Like the elite level athletes who their job it is to train, they obviously can do more.
They can do more. And if they, and also, if you have a genetic predisposition, I've seen lots of guys start weight training 6 months later. They're like, wow, jacked up. And they do say they're not taking anabolics, but who knows? But there are some, for sure, people gain muscle a lot easier than others.
What's your stance on creatine?
I don't have a ton of experience. I've never put any clients on it, but the people that I have talked to that have taken creatine, they say it does work. So what it is, creatine phosphate, is that sort of the first energy system that we have in our body. So it lasts about 6 to 10 seconds. So if you're doing an exercise like a bench or a squat, heavy loads, 2 or 3 reps, that kind of thing, that doesn't take much more than 6 to 10 seconds. Also sprinters, that they fit in that sort of category of activity. The creatine basically lengthens the amount of time by a second or two that you can continue contracting at that intensity level. So you can do an extra rep and push a little bit more load, which will in turn help you gain muscle tissue. So it does work. Long-term effects on the body, not really sure. I think that's still up in the air with a lot of research.
Paul, great information as always, my man. Good to talk to you, and don't fall off your bike on the way home.
Nope. Keeping the rubber down, dude.
Appreciate it. Paul Black is keeping the rubber down.